Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues is the name of this program, and we thank you for listening. Joining me in studio is Ed Battagliano.
Good morning, Tim.
That's your cue.
Okay. Usually you say good morning, Ed.
Oh, do
so,
I?
Yeah, so I was just waiting.
I just wanted to give your ethnicity and your background and your your heritage.
An opportunity to shine forth.
Right. Yeah. Which is not Swedish.
No, it's not Swedish.
Further south we go.
Yes, that's right.
Into the continent of Europe. Fred Jackson, good morning, Fred.
Good morning.
And in Kansas City is our good friend Ray Pritchard. Good morning, Ray. We just lost the signal.
We just lost Ray?
Well, we lost our signal. I think Ray's still with us. Look, our video screen's frozen with Ray. I know our listeners can't see our video screen. We have a video screen, but Ray in Kansas City, and it's frozen up. So I don't know if you can you freeze down? I don't know. It's frozen up.
Those are those kind of expressions right. We use that right. You just go, like you said, right. Can you freeze down? Why do you freeze up?
Freeze up. Ray, you there? Okay. Yeah, okay. So, anyway, thanks for joining us, everybody. If you want to, Ed, tell them how folks can join us on what you call affectionately call that their internet.
Absolutely. You can watch us do the live stream for this program, the video. We do have a video stream that's available two places, Facebook Live. You can just go search for Today's Issues and click through, or you can go to our own video streaming platform. Go to streaming.afa.net. Streaming.afa.net. By the way, I do want to make mention of something that we have available for you this month, okay? Because, listen, Christians need to be proud of June as well. You know, this is quote-unquote gay pride
month. Is there something going on out there?
Yeah. Yeah, you hadn't noticed.
Boy, I haven't noticed.
The world looks like it's turned into Skittles. I mean, there's just color everywhere. Folks, listen.
That's good. You just come up with that?
I just come up right off the top of my head. Okay. See, I'm letting my ethnicity shine
yes,
forth.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. So, folks, here's what we decided to do. Mm-hmm. Now, listen, AFA is going to continue to fight against the agenda, the LGBTQ agenda activists from now until doomsday. All right. But there are also a lot of people trapped in the homosexual lifestyle, and Christians want to know how to minister to them. So this is what we decided to do for the month of June. If you go to streaming.afa.net for the entire month of June, you can watch for free. All right. You can watch for free two Cultural Institute videos that we have produced that are outstanding. The first is Practical Ways to Minister to the Sexually Broken. That's with Stephen Black and Laura Lee Stanlake. And then the second one is The Theological Error of quote-unquote Gay Christianity. That's with Stephen Black and AFA's or American Family Studios' own M.D. Perkins. Excellent resource for answering the arguments made by those who say the Bible applauds loving homosexual relationships. So that is for the entire month of June. There are bonus features, by the way. There's all kinds of great material that you can watch for free at streaming.afa.net. Practical Ways to Minister to the Sexually Broken and the Theological Error of Gay Christianity. Of course, if you want to buy the DVDs of those two videos, you can do that by going to resources.afa.net. But streaming.afa.net gets you to the place where you can watch these two videos for free. Happy June.
You know what? It's we laugh because it's just so.
You don't cry.
Yeah, it's sad and tragic what's going on in our country with promoting lifestyles and agendas that are anti-God.
Yes.
And unbiblical.
And destructive.
When we laugh about something like this, that it's not really funny, but you have to look around and go, this is so gratuitous,
right.
So in your face and so blatant, you just have to laugh at the overkill, if
right.
you will, from the LGBT community. It's hard for me to see, remember Ray, is Ray there? No, it's hard for me to see, Fred, how any LGBTQ person would consider themselves a victim or in this culture.
Right.
Yeah. I was just looking at a list that has been produced by a homosexual group of all of the corporate America that now is endorsing Gay Pride Month. The list is very, very long,
right.
I'll put
yes.
it that way. Major corporations.
Almost every one of them.
You know, somebody has said, and maybe we mentioned this yesterday, it now appears that companies aren't so much interested in selling the products, their widgets or whatever they're
right.
making. They're interested in selling the homosexual agenda by using their products. There is a difference.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's a big backlash out there, too. This
yes.
isn't, I mean, look what's happened with Bud Light and with Target.
Yeah.
I mean, Target's getting bad. It's getting almost as bad as Bud Light. Now they've been, their stock's been downgraded greatly. Elon Musk said, what did he say yesterday?
Well, the latest report is that Target shares, Target has lost $15 billion, not million, $15 billion in share value since the whole came to light about the products that they're displaying in their store. And Elon Musk is saying there could be a lawsuit by shareholders.
Do you have his quote there? I'm sorry, we're jumping to a story we intended to cover later in the hour, but...
Yes. The headline on the story, it's a New York Post story. Elon Musk predicts class action lawsuits against Target after company loses $15 billion. And he...
It's down in the story there.
Yes.
Let me just explain to folks, a class action lawsuit, like if I wanted to personally sue Target, I can do that. If I have standing, I can get a lawyer and sue them. A class action is when you have a class of people that file a collective lawsuit. So that would be what Elon Musk is suggesting, is that the shareholders would sue Target because Target is no longer doing its primary job, which is to make money for the shareholders. So all the shareholders who wanted to would join the lawsuit, and sometimes the penalties, if a company loses a class action lawsuit, can just be astronomical.
I had not thought about that. Do you have that quote from Elon Musk?
Yes. He says, "Won't be long before there are class action lawsuits by shareholders against the company and board of directors for destruction of shareholder value," end quote.
Right.
Hey, that's a very reasonable argument, seems to me, and that could potentially happen. It's Elon Musk. He's talking about Target and how much stock value they've lost because of their woke agenda that they want to push. And
here's why I think, to your point, that is a very interesting and reasonable approach. Because if they do go forth with this, then you would have then in the court case or during discovery, you would bring in
right.
the leadership of Target, and you would ask them, "Did you not expect that pushing this agenda
right.
would drive away customers?
Right.
That you would split your customer base, and you'd only have people coming to your store, the people who believe in what you're doing ideologically, but you would lose all this." And all these people in leadership would have to say, "Yeah, we knew that." And so the follow-up is, did you not know that would drop the value of the stock?
Dramatically.
Or also, when you saw the stock value beginning to drop, what did you do?
Yes. All that could be very damaging for a company like Target.
I had not thought about this angle before. Because, I mean, if you were to... It would be the shareholders of Target stock going against the Target Corporation.
Correct.
And as you say, a class action lawsuit. And if this happens and they were to win, they being the shareholders, that that would rock the world, corporate world, in terms of that would be a major pushback against promoting political agendas, mm-hmm. whatever they may be, that are not affiliated or associated directly with the business at hand, the company making money.
And it would offer companies cover, okay? Mm-hmm. And what do I mean by cover? You could have companies saying to these LGBTQ groups, both the ones inside the company and those outside, like Human Rights Campaign, I'm sorry, but we can't promote your agenda anymore because we stand to get sued. Mm-hmm. See, right now, they've got no way to back out of this, even if they wanted to. All right? You've got companies like Walmart, local Walmart here in Tupelo, Mississippi, where our flagship station for our network is located. You think down here in the buckle of the Bible Belt, they have a pride display. Walmart does here in our town. Okay? Those companies like Walmart may not be all in like Target, but they're under extraordinary pressure. I'm giving Walmart the benefit of the doubt. A lot of people don't want to do that. I'm not sure I should, okay? But there are probably a lot of companies that go, we have to. We have to promote it or we get killed by the Human Rights Campaign, the people. But if you said no, look what happened to Target. They got sued.
Right.
They lost billions. We're out.
Right.
We're out of the ideology game.
You know what they could still do? By the way, you back, Ray?
Here I am. I had to go upstairs, get on my hands and knees, get the Wi-Fi
in
signal
prayer?
Booster. Well, and I took it off the floor and put it on our ironing board. So,
oh, what are you talking about? Some kind of box we sent you or something? Or
no, it's there's a Wi-Fi system you know, in our house here.
Oh,
and I took the booster and it's on the back of our ironing board now. This
okay.
This is how it's done in the big leagues, folks.
That's high tech right there.
Yes, high tech, baby.
Literally high tech. You're going up as high as you can.
That's right.
Glad you could fix it. Fix the connection problem.
And then you kicked it a couple times, hit it with a hammer.
That's right.
All right, joining us from North Carolina is Dr. Frank Turek. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning, gentlemen. You know, isn't it odd and crazy when you think about it that 79 years ago today, about 9,000 guys lost their lives assaulting the beach of Normandy, and they get one day that we commemorate them.
Yeah.
And yet our country sees somehow it fit to give a whole month to people that want to behave in a sexually unnatural way.
Yeah.
How are we a serious country?
Well, I think the answer is clear. And later on in this program, we have a story regarding the Chinese and their technological leapfrogging over the United States while their students are learning math and science, computer, all those kinds of things. Our kids are stuck on TikTok and Instagram, but I'm not blaming the young people. I'm blaming the adults in charge, including Frank, I guess to your point, what the leaders of our corporations are doing, colleges and universities. These are the adults making these decisions, not the kids.
Yeah, and by the way, why does any workplace, why are they talking about sex at all? Are we supposed to have sex at work? I mean, what's the point?
We don't do that here.
Well, a number of years ago, some of you may know I was fired by Bank of America and Cisco because I had written a book called Correct, Not Politically Correct. And I just updated the book. It's called Correct, Not Politically Correct about same-sex marriage and transgenderism, because transgenderism has obviously come on the scene in a big way in the past few years. But I asked goes back to 2011. I asked the head of inclusion, tolerance, and diversity at Cisco why I was fired for having a diverse view. Why was I excluded, not included? Why was I not tolerated rather than tolerated in the name of inclusion, tolerance, and diversity? And so I wrote an article called Sex at Work. By the way, do not Google that. Do not Google that. Because it'll take you right to Bill Clinton's website. But anyway. But if you go to crossexamine.org, you can find that on our website. And you can also, it's part of this book, Correct, Not Politically Correct. Why are we talking about this at work? What does this have to do with providing a service to people or making widgets or whatever we do at work? Why are we talking about sex? What is the point from a business perspective?
Well, that's what you have to take pride.
In what?
Pride, man. I don't know. I'll ask the same question. I go, what are we prideful about? What?
Well, it goes to the point we were discussing before you came on, Frank. I don't know if you were able to listen to the few minutes of glorious conversation we were having, but it is a departure from what businesses should be doing. Mm-hmm. Hence, the possibility that the shareholders of Target could have a...
Or Budweiser,
and Anheuser-Busch could have a class action lawsuit against the company leadership that is focusing not on making widgets,
right?
Okay,
or selling them,
yeah. But on ideological agendas.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see if that goes anywhere.
Yeah.
But it just goes to show you that when you really think about the business reason for doing any of this, there really isn't one. There's no reason why any employee ought to be pulled into a room and shown a propaganda piece on why a certain sexual behavior ought to be celebrated. As long as everyone treats one another with respect, regardless of what their religious, moral, or sexual beliefs are, that should be enough for the workplace. Why are we trying to indoctrinate people?
You make common sense. Ray, you want to comment on what Frank's talking about?
Well, it's a shocking thing. Frank, to go to your point, how do you get from Omaha Beach in Utah Beach, how do you get from D-Day 79 years ago to where we are today? How do you get from the greatest generation to whatever you're going to call this sex-saturated, perversion-celebrating generation that we live in? I don't know, Frank, but you're asking exactly the right kind of questions. If we think about what happened 79 years ago, to get from there to this world, it's not a huge step up. It's a huge step down.
Well, we get to it, as you know, Ray, by looking at the precedent, say, in the book of Judges, when people forgot about God and all they did what was ever they thought was right in their own minds. They didn't have a standard. And when we forget about God, this is what happens. Now, whose fault is this? It's not the liberals' fault. It's our fault. It's the church's fault. Because we've been, unlike the people sitting around this table right now, and unlike the American Family Association, most of the church has checked out of the culture. Most of the church has not tried to be salt and light. Most of the church is afraid to speak on these issues from the pulpit or in the public square. They're just scared to death. And I know this is going to sound shocking, but the great atheist, when I say great, meaning he's famous, Richard Dawkins has more courage and more sense than most American pastors. Ooh. Because Richard Dawkins has come out and said, I'm sorry, there are only two genders. It's science. Get over it. And he's come out and he said, look, there's no such thing as Islamophobia. Islam is not a race. Islam is an ideology. And there are reasons to be against jihad, quite obviously. He's also come out against censorship. And yet, where are most American pastors? We're hiding under our desks. We're afraid to talk about the truth. And is it any wonder when you take the godly influence out of society, the society goes godless? It's our fault.
Yeah, it's your fault.
I think he said, with the exception of...
And
there are, you know, Pastor Jeff Shree, there are plenty
of... There are some.
But yeah. you're right. By and large, the creeping tyranny of the left has made many pastors either passive or terrified.
And you're not loving people, Ed, as you know, by being silent with information that can save them.
Right.
You're not being loving by allowing laws and other things to be put into place that actually don't prevent evil on people. They actually bring evil on people. If you want to love people, the way you love people through politics is you put laws in place that will help them flourish. You don't put laws in place that are going to do evil. You put laws in place that are going to prevent evil. And
right.
Christians have not done that. Christians have been silent in our country for the past 100 years, generally. There are exceptions, as you know.
Yeah.
All right, what's coming up on your show this weekend?
Nothing. I'm totally annoyed. We're not doing anything. No, we're gonna have Alan Parr on because Alan has just wrote a great book called Misled about
Alan Parson.
Alan Parr.
Oh, okay, Parr.
Not the Alan Parson project.
Okay, I thought it was Alan Parsons.
Jack Parr's grandson, isn't it?
No. This guy is—he's a great theologian, YouTuber. He's got like a million subscribers. He just wrote a book called Misled. So many people are being misled by misinterpreting the Bible. That's what we're going to be talking about.
Okay, it's coming up this weekend, right here on American Family Radio, the ever popular Dr. Frank Turek. With his program Cross Examined.
He's so chill.
Totally.
Frank is so chill.
Laid back.
Yeah.
It's almost Jimmy Buffett-esque.
We're in Margaritaville. That's right.
Margaritaville on Christian radio, Saturday mornings. So sit back.
At least it ain't Bud Light. That's all I can say.
With your tiki hut light. And
tiki torches.
Your non-alcoholic fruit drink in your hands.
With a good umbrella in it.
Yes, that's 9 a.m. Central Time, Saturday mornings, right here on American Family Radio, Dr. Frank Turek.
And 4 p.m. on Sunday afternoon.
Central.
Yep.
All right, Brother Frank, take care, my friend. Thank you.
Hey, don't tell me what to do.
That's your truth, Tim.
Well, that's right.
Man, this is brutal right here.
Kind of bossy.
All right. Thank you, Frank.
See you. Okay. God bless.
I get the impression we pressed a button.
Yeah.
It doesn't take much to launch him, does it, Ray?
He's round up ready to go, man.
He is.
I would like to debate that, brother.
I wouldn't.
Well,
no.
But the story Frank told us about being fired.
Yeah.
Yes.
From a company. I don't know how long ago that was. Years.
Probably 7-8 years ago.
7-8 years ago. So there you have it. I mean, he has firsthand experience in the things that we're talking about.
What I would say is, Ray, the LGBTQ movement, if they want acceptance in America, especially the gay and lesbian part of that equation, it's more than accepting. Okay.
Sure.
I don't know that there's any more that they can conquer, all right, in terms of their movement. So I don't know. How long are you going to have to go on celebrating a whole month and play the part of the victim when everybody knows they're not anymore?
Well, they said for a long time, look, just let us get married and we'll leave everybody else alone.
Right.
But then it was, now you've got to accept this as normal. And then it was, now you've got to celebrate us. And finally, I think the end game of it all is we want to silence every voice that might be in opposition to us, which is where we are today.
And I would add to that, and indoctrinate the children of America.
Yes.
Yes.
Meanwhile, let me just speak a complaint on behalf of black people everywhere. Okay. I'm not black, obviously.
No.
But homosexuals get June. Black people get February.
But the black people is History Month.
Yep. Yes, it's true.
You don't have Gay History Month, although they might be looking at that.
I'm just saying, black people ought to speak up. They get a cold, dreary month, February, that isn't even 30 days long.
Right.
I'm just saying, you should speak up.
You jest, but I would say, and everybody knows this, that being a certain skin color is not the same as a behavior.
Right. No one's ever been pulled over for driving while gay.
Right.
All right.
Right, right.
So,
all right, we're going to take a short time out. A lot more in the news to talk about. But I tell you, just the overarching theme here, I think, if you want to take away a positive theme from what's going on here, kind of, we talked about some negative things. There is a massive backlash going on in America against what Governor Ron DeSantis calls the sexualization of our children.
Yes.
And it's good to see. It's refreshing to see. And this could be a turning point in a way. We'll be back momentarily.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's issues on the American Family Radio. Tim, Ed, Ray, Fred, Frank gone. So, and Ray's hooked back up there in Kansas City. You still on the ironing board?
Yeah, I got my little Google Mesh thing. It was on the floor behind my TV, and I grabbed it, and I put it up on the ironing board, and everything seems to be fine now.
And you didn't throw your back out or anything, did you?
I had to grab onto something to get up. Once you get down at my age, you got to be careful about getting back up.
You know, I've noticed that even at my young age of 60, you just don't spring up like...
You know, the getting down is not a problem. The getting back up is the adventure.
Okay, put on.
Well, I'm just going to give you guys some advice on how to do that. You're getting
okay, Jack
up.
LaLanne.
Yes,
tell us.
Jack LaLanne. You get up with a, ugh! If you throw that in, helps you. That helps
that's
push
right.
you up. You,
get a little sound effects going.
That's right.
My thing is when I sit down on the ground is I got to look around. I got to have something to brace myself.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then when you brace yourself, you better have some counterbalance.
You know, there's none of this popping up out of the chair, or else if you pop up at my age, you'll just keep on going all the way over.
I call it the Rice Krispie effect.
Snap, crackle, pop.
Yeah, that's right.
Your body,
something snaps.
Your
something
body
crackles,
changes over something. To snap, crackle, and pop yep. along the way there.
And that's not a nickname for grandpa.
<right. laughs> All right, so real quickly, our Holy Land tour, March 2024, which you heard a radio spot about a couple of minutes ago, we're getting slammed, folks, in terms of people signing up every day. So people want to go to Israel, see the land of the Bible, and our tour is in March 2024, and we're a third. We've only been promoting it like 3 or 4 weeks, and we're already a third full. So if you're thinking about going on that trip, you need to go to that website and check it out. Everything's there: the itinerary, the price, everything. Pick a lot of pictures. TWHolyLand.com is the website for our trip next March. TWHolyLand.com. TWHolyLand.com. Brad, next story.
Yeah, related to somewhat to what we've been talking about, one of the big issues that's still out there right now involves women's sports and how they're being threatened by the whole transgender agenda. And there's a case before the courts today involving three young ladies. They are former high school students from Connecticut. And because of a policy by the Connecticut Interscholastic Athletic Conference that allows males who self-declare themselves as females to play on female sports. And these young ladies, they're before the courts today in their case, and they say they were consistently deprived of honors and opportunities to compete at elite levels because of that policy. One of those young ladies is Chelsea Mitchell. Let's have a listen to what she has to say. Cut number 9.
So I raced against 2 biological males all 4 years of high school, and I lost medals, podium spots, advancement opportunities. Eventually, I lost 2 All New England awards and 4 state championships to these 2 biological males.
And I think we just have to underline and underline this. We talk about these things, but there are actually people like these 3 young ladies that are impacted by this. And it's not just about, I didn't win the race. These kids are in court because they said they lost scholarships. Right. They lost standing. This is affecting their economic future. And that's why they're before the courts with this today. And it's one of those issues. I think Chris was showing me there was a poll recently that said 62% of Americans are against this idea of some guy who says, hey, I feel like a girl today. I want to be on the girls' sports.
Well, it ought to be 99%.
I think it's much higher than 62.
I do too. I think polling I've seen, 80% of people, even liberal people, would go, that's not fair.
Yes,
boys. And there's probably some intimidation too when you're answering.
Yes, yes. Boys playing girls' sports is not fair, and everybody knows it. And I think that's going to be a loser for the Democrats. if that becomes a big issue in the next election cycle, I'm talking 2024, I really do. That's a loser for them, and could hurt them, much like the parents' rights issue hurt the Democrats in 2020. And we saw that in Virginia in particularly.
Yeah.
A what was trending a really blue state turned in red because of these kinds of things that we're talking about, where parents are saying, no, boys don't play, shouldn't compete against girls in sports, and I don't want this LGBTQ agenda and this woke agenda being pushed down our kids' throats, and we're responding. And so,
yeah, Ray, listen, I think it's a winning issue also for the Republicans. And here's how you can frame the Republican Party as you're appealing to voters. You could say, we are protecting girls in sports from biological males. We want to defend the rights of parents to raise their kids and not have their kids subject to being propagandized on ideology. You can appeal to minority communities and saying, we want to protect the right of parents to choose where their kids go to school. We're for school choice. Parents, you want your kids in better
schools. That's a winner too.
That's a winner too. And we're the ones who want to give, again, the minority community, if you're trying to bring some of those into the fold, you say, we want to protect their opportunities and your right to get jobs. You could frame that, Ray, in a way that appeals to a much larger voting population. And I think with Tim, these are winning issues.
You know, I was looking at an electoral map of 2024, and you know, it comes down, as we all know, to Nevada and Arizona, Georgia, PA, Michigan, Wisconsin, maybe a couple of other states where the whole thing's going to be decided. And people talk about these soccer moms, Ed. They talk about suburban moms. They may be church people. They may not. They could be evangelical, could be Catholic. Who knows? A lot of different backgrounds. But you got these suburban moms. They are really focused on their children. And the agenda that you just spoke is that's an agenda that the, quote, soccer moms of America can understand.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to vote for the party that promises to protect their children. This is a winning strategy for 2024, and I hope whoever the Republican nominee is, I hope the party as a whole makes itself extremely kid-friendly next year,
right?
Because if they do, they're going to win the White House.
Next story.
Yeah, well, again, a lot of these stories are related. We know that the governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, has taken some flack for taking on Disney, who Disney took on Ron DeSantis when he brought in legislation on parental rights. He says parents ought to have the right to stop schools from indoctrinating our kids on homosexual issues. Well, this came up in a way. Nikki Haley, former governor of South Carolina, she's running for president on the Republican side. She was at a CNN town hall, and she was asked what she thought about Ron DeSantis taking on Disney because Disney spoke out against him. This is what she had to say. Cut number 13.
Here you have DeSantis, who accepted $50,000 in political contributions from Disney. He went and put their executives and their lobbyists on prominent boards throughout Florida. And he went and basically gave the highest corporate subsidies in Florida history to Disney. But because they went and criticized him, now he's going to spend taxpayer dollars on a lawsuit. It's just like all this vendetta stuff. We've been down that road again. We can't go down that. When you have a company like that, don't bring the citizens' taxpayer dollars into it. Pick up the phone, deal with it, settle it the way you should. And I just think he's being hypocritical in that.
So that was on CNN?
Yes.
Okay. So that's Nikki. By the way, just to be fair to her,
mm-hmm.
Not that we've been unfair to her. She also spoke out against women boys playing girls sports emphatically on that same interview. We're not going to play that clip, but just to know that she took a stand there. But there she's going after DeSantis, the governor of Florida, also a Republican presidential primary rival.
Yes.
Now, did he have a response?
He sure did. Cut number 11.
how utterly bizarre. I mean, somebody does a campaign contribution and you're supposed to lay down for them. That's not how I operate. People can support me or not support me. I call them as I see them. And if you've supported me, but you're wrong, I'm going to do what's right. Second of all, I did not give subsidy. Reedy Creek has been there for decades. You know that. That was there since the 1960s where they had their own government, had these massive subsidies. Yes, we unwound that and we ended their self-governing status, but it wasn't anything that I gave to them. But I do think it's interesting. All these other Republicans have basically sided with Disney on this. And also, I'm not suing them. They sued us. We're going to win that lawsuit. Of course, we're going to defend.
Well, just to reiterate what happened here, for those who know, how did this originate? Most people are aware of it. But what happened was the state legislature in Florida passed a law. This is last year. Passed a law which Governor DeSantis signed at the time that said you can't talk about, in public part of public schools, you can't talk about sex with third graders and under.
And under.
That's not going to be allowed. So what that became the so-called Don't Say Gay bill. That's what the liberal media gave it. And then they said, oh, Ron DeSantis, he's saying don't say gay. This is anti-gay. So Disney, their former CEO, who got fired.
Bob Chapek.
Yeah. Originally, he didn't want to say anything about this because he thought wisely, I think, Disney doesn't need to get involved in Florida state politics. We just need to have people come and see Snow White and ride Splash Mountain, okay? But he was pressured by the some of the employees inside Disney and then others outside Disney, the liberal Hollywood entertainment industry. They came down on him and said, no, you need to speak out. So he spoke out and said, we're going to do everything we can to see that this law is repealed. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So what Disney was saying was, no, we need to talk about sex with kindergartners in Florida. That's what that's the side they took.
Right.
And then so then Governor DeSantis responded to that and said, well, Disney, you're sitting there with all these special privileges, special rights in the state of Florida you've had for 40 years. You don't have to pay taxes like everybody else. I don't know if he said it exactly like this, Governor DeSantis, but basically he was saying, if you're going to get directly involved in state politics and try to sexualize our kids, then you're not going to be treated special anymore here in Florida. Now, some would argue, I know Jenna Ellis, a constitutional lawyer, you can't punish a company's speech. You can't punish them because of their speech. That's a whole separate argument for me. The bottom line, what DeSantis is saying there, you're not going to sexualize our children. And what he takes objection to, I think, with Nikki Haley and some of the other Republicans, he's saying, hey, they're siding with Disney on this issue rather than he's saying I and the state legislature far took the right view on this particular issue. You're listening to Today's Issues. Next story, Fred. Mike Pence announced for president, right?
Mike Pence has announced, and also Chris Christie apparently today will announce. So the field is getting fairly broad. We may see if we ever get to the debate stage, it may go back to 2016. Remember they had two tiers?
Yes, because there was like 17.
Yeah, if you had more than 3% or something, you made it to the big stage.
Okay, Ray, we're going to throw it your way. Why is former Vice President Pence running for president?
Look, I think he's going after what we used to call the Republican mainstream. He can take credit for a lot of the stuff that happened under his former boss, Donald Trump. He was there, right? He can take credit for that, but he can also present himself as a mainstream Republican. Does he have a chance?
Handicap that one for us?
I think he's got a better chance than Vivek Ramaswamy. Just wanted to get his name in there.
Yep.
And I think he's going to, I mean, what has Chris Christie been doing the last 8 years?
He's got a great donut franchise.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. Here
Christy,
we go.
Christy Creams. Oh, you guys Christy ever had those?
I thought you was going to say he's been at the buffet.
No, no.
Oh,
Christy, we would never.
That would have been mean spirited.
Christy Cream donuts is what I was saying. No, I wouldn't. I'm not going to joke about people at the buffet.
What's wrong with being at the buffet?
My hypocrisy only goes so far, my friends. No, I was a little play on words. Krispy Kreme, Christy Cream. So
I got you. Yeah. Yeah.
Pence is gonna poll ahead of Chris Christie, isn't he? I mean, Chris. Where is Chris Christie's support going to come from?
I don't think I'm just going to be honest. I don't think Mike Pence has a path to the nomination. I don't think Nikki Haley does. I don't think Asa Hutchinson does. I don't think Chris Christie does. But
Larry Elder. Watch him rise. Sit back and watch.
I will say this: when it comes to politics, you never know. That's why they call them. They used to call them dark horse candidates, and that is people that come from way back in the pack and somehow, some way, make their way to the front in a surprise bid for the nomination. That can happen. And these men and women in the Republican field who are well behind right now in the polls, behind, of course, Donald Trump is way ahead. Ron DeSantis is significantly in second place beyond the rest of the field. But they apparently think they have a message. Some of them, like Nikki Haley and Chris Christie, I think they may be auditioning for a role in the new administration if a Republican wins. Mm-hmm. So maybe they don't actually
if a
think
Republican wins. Yeah. Yeah,
they may not actually think they have a chance for the nomination. Well, but they can extend their political life.
With all due respect to former Vice President Pence, I don't see a path for him to get the Republican nomination as it's currently. Constituted? I'm talking about the people that are in the race. Because he has no base of support.
Right.
Ray, you mentioned that Vice President Pence could take some credit for the Trump being Trump's vice president. Well, guess what? There's a guy named Donald Trump.
Right.
Who was at the top. Right. Okay, he was president during the good years, meaning would argue the first 3 years of the Trump presidency was very good. We had a very good country, very good shape, and then COVID hit and all that. We know what happened there. But anyway, so from that respect, I don't think Vice President can out-Trump Trump, Vice no. President Pence. So forget that path. The other path would be the establishment Republicans, you could say, might go toward him. But there's not enough of them. To challenge somebody like Trump, for example, and I don't even think he would get near catching DeSantis, who's number two right now. So I don't know. I have a theory, and Ed and I talked about this yesterday, and this is just Tim's theory, okay, on why some of these people are running for president when they really don't have a chance to win on the Republican side. Well, what I'm about to say is not my theory. This is just, I think some of them just want to sell books or get guest speaking appearances in the future or be a television host after this is all said and done and be called former presidential hopeful, so-and-so, like Mike Huckabee did. Mike's a friend of ours. Mike parlayed his run for, now he was former governor of Arkansas too, so that's, he was a governor of a state, but he ran for president. Remember that? And he was kind of like Mike Pence in a way, although he did win Iowa, I think, 1 year in a caucus. But I'm just saying he parlayed that into a television career. Uh-huh. And Mike's very good on television, so he had talent for television, and he had the background, and he could say I was a Republican presidential nominee. So some of them might be in it for those kinds of opportunities in the future. And then the other, here's my theory, is that some of these folks may think that Donald Trump is 77 years old, okay, and he's under multiple investigations. He has legal issues to deal with. And if for some reason he you know, gets indicted and convicted of something like, you know, with this Mar-a-Lago,
right, with the
obstruction of justice potential indictment. I'm just saying, in no way, shape, or form, and I'm saying President Trump is guilty of anything. Okay, I'm just looking at it from a practical point of view. But they may say to themselves, "Well, Trump's going to have so many legal problems that he's not going to be able to run for president, or he's going to have to drop out." So, if that's the case, then it's game on, because then you got people like Nikki Haley and Pence and Tim Scott and DeSantis and others saying, "Hey, now Trump's out of the field, and it's a showdown between the four or five of us." You see what I'm saying here? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking in the back of their minds, they may think a lot can happen in 8-9 months, which is what we have till the Iowa caucuses. And President Trump does have these legal challenges in front of him that he's going to have to deal with. In fact, yesterday, this wasn't covered much in the news, but Trump's lawyers went to the Department of Justice to have a meeting.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm sure they're going there to try to keep an indictment from happening, or to try to talk the Department of Justice out of, you know, indicting the special counsel, Jack Smith, of indicting former President Trump. That's the only reason to me you would send your lawyers to D.C. to meet with the Department of Justice to try to work something out. See what I'm...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, what do you think about my theory, Ed?
Well, I think...
On why people... The theory is, again, why would people run for president who don't have a chance, at least looking at it like we're looking at it now, of beating Donald Trump?
Yeah, well, it has to enter into it simply by logic, because if... former President Trump, if this was 2020, all right, you're not going to get an incumbent. You're not going to get many challengers to an incumbent.
No.
Who had a successful, but President Trump, by almost all measures, had a very successful 4 years. You would not have a large field challenging an incumbent president. But former President Trump has been out for 4 years, so he is not an incumbent. And that's why I think you have a growing field, is because none of them are saying we should all step aside. And I mean, none of them, DeSantis isn't, Nikki Haley, Tim Scott, none of them are saying we should all step aside and allow President Trump to be the only one running as if he were an incumbent. So I'm guessing they think something might happen to knock the front runner out of the race. And then, like you said, it's wide open.
Fred, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think Jonathan Turley is constitutional expert. You see him on Fox all the time. He said some time ago he is extremely worried about the Mar-a-Lago case. He says
Jonathan Turley said that?
Yes, that is where he feels. And he's not a guy who's always critical of Donald Trump. But from a legal expert point of view, he says from what he knows of what has been discerned so far in that case, that Trump is vulnerable there. If, as you say, these lawyers for Donald Trump went to the DOJ yesterday, they must be worried, as Jonathan Turley pointed out, that the former president is vulnerable on the possible charges there.
Okay, the appearance, Ray, of Trump's lawyers going to Washington to meet with the Department of Justice in a meeting they requested, that says to me the lawyers are saying we have potential trouble here and we want to resolve it, but we would like to resolve it. It's almost like you're getting down on your knees and begging, is what I'm saying.
Well, it's like you're on the freeway driving and all of a sudden the engine light starts flashing on the dashboard, right?
Mm-hmm.
You get the impression that the engine light for the Trump lawyers is starting to flash and they are worried about what may come next. That's certainly, we don't know for sure what was said between the lawyers and the Justice Department, but it certainly doesn't look good.
Yeah, I mean, when you're lawyers, so we'll see what happens there. There is, you know, if Mr. Trump, although I got to say, with Mr. Trump, former President Trump, if he gets indicted, his numbers may go to 99% support.
Who, Pence?
No, Trump.
Oh, no, Trump.
The more he's,
Yes.
The more he's seen as being persecuted,
yeah,
the more his numbers go up. His numbers jump greatly when Bragg and the DA in New York indicted him over the hush money case. So it's kind of like Burr Rabbit. Trump's Burr Rabbit. No, Trump's not Burr Rabbit.
I'm not familiar with this Burr Rabbit.
What country are you from?
I don't know.
No, Burr Rabbit said, "Don't throw me in the fire, Pat." You never heard that saying before?
No. Burr Rabbit, don't throw me in the briar patch.
I don't even know who you are anymore.
I've heard of it. I've heard.
When we get back, I'll explain that. Okay. I don't have time right now. Good night.
That was easy.
We'll be back in 5 minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.